It is 10:10. You heard 10 cuckoos, and that means this is the coffee break.
Time for the coffee break.
That's right, here on 980 WCAP. I'm Bernice Corpuz.
And I'm Wireless Mike. Good morning, Bernice.
Good morning.
It's not the first time I've seen you, but
I know.
It is time to relax. Time to explore some topics here on the coffee break on Merrimack Valley Radio.
And we do have a lot of topics to cover today.
It's a jam-packed day, and we're going to jump right into it with our first guest.
Yes, we are very pleased to have in studio with us today Ward Hamilton, who's the Senior Vice President and Vice President of Marketing at Zoll Medical, based in Chelmsford. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And, of course, this is February, American Heart Month. And it's fitting that we have you in studio because your company is known for its defibrillators.
That's right. And that's been pretty much the major product we've had since the company was founded, although we started with an external pacing device but rapidly added a defibrillator to it. We're very active in professional defibrillators used in the hospital, and we also sell more than 100,000 or have an installed base now of close to 300,000 of AEDs out in the world, which are used by lay people.
Yeah, speaking of AEDs, if you could describe this, what the device is. I mean, I've seen it. I know the basics of how it works, but it really has revolutionized how regular people are able to resuscitate or, you know, bring people back, their heartbeats back.
Absolutely. An AED is an acronym for Automated External Defibrillator, and it really goes hand in hand with learning cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Sudden cardiac death is the leading cause of death in America. About one person every 2 minutes dies of sudden cardiac death in America. And between CPR and the rapid delivery of an electrical shock from an AED, from an external defibrillator, many people can survive. As many as half the people that die suddenly could literally survive these events, which are fatal most of the time. Less than about 5%, maybe 7% survive in most areas of the country. In areas with very strong programs in CPR and AED deployment, survival's getting up in the 30-40% area.
There was a question that I had. How much training do people need to be able to effectively use an AED device?
There are AEDs now and reports of people with no training at all who've been able to successfully use an AED in a rescue. If you're the Heart Association, though, and if you're a manufacturer like we are, generally we recommend a training class in CPR and AED use. It usually takes a couple of hours. They're very available through fire departments, through the American Heart Association, through the American Red Cross, and it really is a very short investment in time to learn a life-saving skill for you or a family member.
I know that there's been a big push in recent years with people trying to get everyone up to date, up to speed on CPR.
Yes.
Is this something that is AED administration and implementation something that's part of that, or is that something that really kind of should be added to that type of training?
If you take classes with the American Heart Association or the American Red Cross, there'll be a component of AED use within a CPR class.
Mm-hmm.
Given it's Heart Month, I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on with CPR. There's a great effort on the part of many organizations to simplify CPR training. And one of the things that's become very popular and that the American Heart Association is now recommending and offering is compression-only CPR, where you simply learn to press on the patient's chest in the event of a sudden collapse.
Right.
And they've reduced the component of mouth-to-mouth ventilation for a couple of reasons. One, it complicates the training. Two, there is some general unwillingness sometimes on the part of rescuers to apply mouth-to-mouth ventilation to someone that they perhaps don't know. And so in the interest of getting more people to intervene when an event like this occurs, they've started to offer compression-only CPR, which is pretty much you learn to recognize a sudden collapse, recognize the patient is unresponsive, place your hands between the nipples on the patient's chest, and then rapidly compress the chest 80 to 100 beats per minute, pressing down an inch and a half to 2 inches. And that can be very life-saving for patients who collapse suddenly.
Now, people who collapse, that's kind of the most critical thing, is to keep the heart beating until they can get further medical care, right?
That's right.
So that the root of the problem or whatever it is can be diagnosed and dealt with, but the heart has to stay beating, right?
It's actually typically when someone collapses, they either collapse due to their heart having a heart rhythm, which is called ventricular fibrillation, mm-hmm. where the heart actually just stops beating normally and kind of shakes around like a bowl of jelly, a bowl of jello, rather. Mm-hmm. And if you can sort of picture a bowl of jello being shaken, that's what the heart's doing. Mm-hmm. And when it does that, it's not effectively pumping blood. Sometimes the heart stops as well due to a failure in the pacemaking system, and you may have the heart just be in standstill and not beating at all. There's other rhythms as well. But what cardiopulmonary resuscitation or chest compressions accomplish is to squeeze the heart between the back and the chest. And when you do that, you force blood out of the heart, and mm-hmm. so you're doing sort of artificial compressions that force blood out of the heart. That if they're done well, you get about 30% of the normal flow of blood, and that's enough of a holding action so that someone's ability to survive is extended considerably until paramedics or firefighters or other professionals can get on the scene, or an AED can be used to restart to re-enable a normal beating by getting rid of ventricular fibrillation. Or a pacemaker could be used. And that's what CPR does. It buys time for the victim till more professional help can provide additional care.
It is 10:17 here on the Coffee Break. This is 980 WCAP. And joining us in studio this morning is Ward Hamilton, Senior VP and VP of Marketing at Zoll Medical. They're based in Chelmsford. And I'd like to ask you, Ward, when did Zoll first come out with its first AED?
Our first AED was around 1999, and we've actually had AED components within our advanced or professional defibrillators. But the first AED sort of oriented towards the lay rescuer was back in 1999. What's very unique about our AED, a little bit of a plug for the Zoll device, is it actually helps people do the chest compression. So not only can it provide an electrical shock to the patient, but it actually provides feedback through a technology we have called Real CPR Help. And so when you're doing compressions on the chest, it'll actually tell you to press harder if you're not pressing hard enough.
Wow.
And it will also give you a metronome so you get the rate right. So it's kind of like almost to the rate of staying alive, the Bee Gees song. And it will also tell you when you're doing the compressions well. It'll say good compression. So for someone faced with one of these events, it's nice to sort of have this kind of help. Not only do you have the electrical shock, but you have this help with the CPR as well, and can help a rescuer do it right and have the confidence to intervene. Just this weekend, some of you may have seen or caught on the television a story about a woman who saved a victim in a Walmart here in Massachusetts, and she was using a device called the Pocket CPR, which has the same feedback system in it. It's another device we make. We make it down in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and this story is quite interesting because the woman who used this Pocket CPR device to do CPR on a victim was actually a victim of cardiac arrest herself.
Really?
She was saved a couple of years ago in her community. She was a bus driver, and a school bus driver. And she collapsed suddenly. Her name was Laura Garrity. And she was shocked 22 times with an AED. I'm not sure if it was a Zoll AED or not. There are some others that are out there that work well, too. And any AED is better than no AED.
Right, right.
And Laura was shocked 22 times, was in cardiac arrest about 45 minutes, and ultimately was saved by the CPR and the AED. Made it to Massachusetts General Hospital, where she had additional care and ultimately survived an episode of sudden death. After that, she visited our subsidiary called BioDTech. She received this device called the Pocket CPR, and has been a very strong advocate for training and teaching people CPR. And just this weekend, used the Pocket CPR device to provide CPR to a man who collapsed at Walmart.
Now, what type of device is the Pocket CPR?
It's a small thing. We call it a pocket. It's about the size of a bar of soap.
So it's like a cell phone size?
Yeah, about cell phone size. And that's a good segue for me to talk about something special we have this month for people. But it's about the size of a bar of soap, and it is put between the heel of your hands and the patient's chest, and it will actually coach you on the CPR compressions that you're giving.
Oh.
Yep. And it'll do the same thing I just described. It'll say press harder. It'll give you a metronome to follow. And if you're doing the compressions well, it'll say good compression.
Now that sounds like a huge thing for people, because when you are in a position to provide CPR, it's you got to be scared. Your adrenaline's pumping. And I think the greatest fear for people is that they're not doing it right. And I think having a device like that to, as you said, coach you through it, could make all the difference.
Right,
it really helps empower people to, feel confident about what they're doing. And it is quite interesting, because people seem to be more afraid of doing the CPR and less concerned about the outcome of not doing it. And if you don't do it, death is certain for the individual in most cases. So this can help, and you're absolutely right. And, it does empower people, give them some confidence, and the story of Laura using it is a good example of that. And as part of American Heart, National Heart Month this month, you mentioned a cell phone.
Right.
We actually now have a Pocket CPR iPhone application that is available to people.
Now, how does that work? Because, it's a cell phone, but I'm just imagining comparing it to the Pocket CPR. You can't use it as the one in between your palm and the chest.
That's a good observation, and you're absolutely right. And so right now for training, to practice CPR, we have an application that you download. You put it on your iPhone, and you can put the iPhone on top of your hand so that it's not between the patient's chest and your hand. We actually, there's a little sort of cover that you can purchase for it from another store that sells iPhone accessories, and you can then actually use that to learn CPR. It has a great training application. It shows you how to do the compressions, and then if you were to press on a sofa or something that you could compress, the iPhone application will coach you as to the rate and the depth and teach you how to do the CPR.
So for now, the iPhone application is really, it's a training tool.
That's right. We do hope to have it approved for clinical use at some time in the future. These have to be cleared by the FDA for that kind of use. And like the Real CPR Help, which is cleared for clinical use in the AED, we're very optimistic that we'll get approval for the iPhone to be used in clinical situations as well.
So for now, people can download it to sort of test it and give you some sort of feedback on how you improve on this.
That's correct. Go to the iPhone App Store, and I think you look at CPR, and you'll find a Pocket CPR application that's available for free this month, part of our contribution to Heart Month. And anyone that wants it could download it for their iPhone. Mm-hmm. And it's just another application of the same technology that we use in all of our defibrillators now.
Very nice. We're speaking with Ward Hamilton from Zoll Medical. Now, you talked a little bit about the history of your company. And as Bernice said earlier, you guys are headquartered here right in our backyard in Chelmsford, right?
Yes, we are. We're very happy to be part of this great community in the Merrimack Valley. We moved here about 5 or 6 years ago from Burlington, where we had outgrown our space in Burlington. We have about 700 employees here in Chelmsford. We are, one of the area's 150 largest public companies. We're number 64 out of 150 in the metro area here. We are number 9 out of 25 of the area's largest medical device firms. And we are 13 out of 50 in terms of employers in the area as well. So we're very happy to be here. We have a workforce that's comprised of people from all over the Merrimack Valley. We have a fair number of folks from here from Lowell as well that come into Chelmsford and work and help assemble our products. We build all of our products in the United States. We have facilities here in Chelmsford. I mentioned down in Rhode Island. We have facilities in Pittsburgh, Sunnyvale, California, and Broomfield, Colorado. So we're getting to be a pretty good-sized firm.
Yeah, and I was looking at your website. You guys have a fantastic timeline on there of milestones in the history of the company. And it struck me, you know, with a sort of glancing familiarity with your company and your product, that basically you guys have been devoted to basically the heart right from the beginning, right?
That's right. I'm not at all, I'm pleased to mention that the company was founded by a physician here in the Boston area, a guy named Paul Zoll,
right?
An eminent physician, kind of an inventor type, who was actually the first physician to implant a pacemaker in a patient. He was actually the first physician to externally defibrillate the heart. Quite a real pioneer here in the field of electrical activity around the heart. He dedicated his life to this, and one of the last things he did as he was facing retirement was look at some of the technology he had invented. And I mentioned the company was founded based on the external pacing technology, and that was the one thing that he hadn't really commercialized. And so the company was built around this external pacing technology, and that's where we got our start. Dr. Zoll died in 1999, I believe. He was awarded the Lasker Prize in Medicine, which is almost like the Nobel Prize for an American, and is really just respected by everyone in the medical field for his contributions to electrophysiology. We've expanded a lot since then. Our footprint now includes devices that are electrical that relate to the heart, but we also now do a lot in the area of cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We manufacture a mechanical CPR device called the AutoPulse. That's made out in California in Sunnyvale. And we manufacture a wearable defibrillator in Pittsburgh, which is actually worn by patients who have a temporary risk of sudden death. Aside from all the patients who don't know they have any risk, there are patients that do have a risk of sudden death, and they can wear this device temporarily. And we also manufacture some equipment to manage temperature, catheters that dwell in the patient's body, and we circulate cold fluid through those catheters, and we can manage fever, and we can manage other metabolic problems that occur after resuscitation or after a neurological injury. And that's an exciting part of our business as well.
Certainly a very exciting advances in trying to make it easier for people to resuscitate. And, you know, it really is time. You know, time is very critical in trying to save somebody. And, if you know, the easiest you could do it, the better it is.
If you can put it on an iPhone.
Yeah.
There you go. Everybody's
there
got
you
one,
go.
Right?
There you go. Now, Ward, how can people get more information about some of the products, devices that you talked about?
We have a very, very robust website of information on our products, www.zoll.com, and that's probably the easiest way. We have plenty of people in the field now. We have about 400 people who call on medical professionals and sell AEDs and defibrillators and AutoPulse and Life Vests all over the world. About 1,100 business partners now around the world as well. So we're pretty easy to find. Get on the website, and that'd be the first step, I think, to making contact with us. And beyond that, 1-800-348-9011 will get you to us as well.
All right. Ward Hamilton from Zoll Medical, thank you so much again for joining us in studio here on 980 WCAP.
Thank you.